We're going to be talking this morning about the parable of the talents. The story is told in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I'm reading this morning out of the ESV version. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with me. This is Jesus talking. He says, to one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Looking this morning at the parable of the talents, I want to start first with the question, what is a parable? Because if we're going to read the parable, we have to understand what a parable is. A parable is an analogy. It's a story, and Jesus spoke in stories. He spoke in parables. And so a parable is a short story that would be used to teach a lesson. And when Jesus is talking, it sounds like a simple story. It's very straightforward, but it ends up having a very deep lesson. At first glance, it's just a story. But then you start to unpeel the layers, just like an onion, and you realize that there's more to it than you first thought. So we have to understand the story is about one thing, but there's going to be more to it than we first think. Now, a talent. Well, we all think we know what a talent is, right? It's an ability. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. Okay, I get what this is about, except that's not what it's about. I've heard so many sermons looking at this passage and talking about how it's God saying, don't misuse or hide your gifts and abilities. And that sounds really good, and I think that's in line with what God says, except it's not correct in this scripture. Because you see, we're looking at it through the eyes of 2016 in America and the definition of talent. But we're not looking at what a talent was in ancient times. And I think it's a common misinterpretation of the story. If you look at talent, at the time this was written, a talent was a form of measurement. Just like we might say something was a pound, they would say, oh, that was a talent. It was a way to measure things. And not just some things, but things that were particularly heavy, like precious metal, gold, or silver. And so they would use the word talent to talk about something that weighed a lot. And so this wasn't like money that you could fit in your pocket. It was more like a bar of gold or a stack of gold that you might find at Fort Knox. And so when we're talking about the parable of the talents, and it says that one was given or five was given, we have to understand that a talent was a unit of measurement and that it was equal to 20 years' wages for a common laborer during that time. And so it changes the whole story and how we look at it if we understand the language of the day. And so the story starts out, and there was a rich master. And he's going away to another country. He's going on a long journey, and he's not going to return for a while. And so when he told this parable, Jesus was well aware that within the next few weeks, he would leave this earth, and he would take his place at the right hand of the Father. And in the same way, the scripture tells us that the rich man would be going away for a long time. Jesus knew that his return would not be as soon as some people might hope. And Jesus also knew that he, just like the rich man in the story, would return one day to receive back his property and to obtain a careful accounting from each of his servants. Well, who are the servants in the story? They're me and you. That's who the servants are in the story. They represent me and you and every other believer in Christ. Now, while the master called his servants to manage his financial empire while he was gone, he was talking about talents, he was talking about money, he was talking about wealth, heaviness of wealth, Jesus has called us to manage his earthly empire. We've been given an enormous responsibility. We represent the Master of Masters, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings while he is away. And he's not left us with property and money, but he's left us with resources to use on his behalf. Resources like the spiritual gifts that we talked about last week. But sometimes we go about the business of our lives not realizing how much has been entrusted to us. The scripture says that the servants were commanded to manage his goods, his property. Now, servants in that day, they owned nothing. They had rights to absolutely nothing. Everything they had, even their spouses, even their children, were the property of their master. And even when he would go off to a faraway country for an extended period of time, they still had no rights. So you have to understand in the story, the servants are there, they're entrusted with everything, but they have nothing that actually belongs to them. Aren't we very much the same way? I mean, let's face it, everything that we call ours is really his. Our house, our land, our possessions, our property, even our family. Do we really have a right to it? He's entrusted us with those things, but they do not belong to us. They're entrusted in our care until he returns to receive them back. Now, before I leave this point about God entrusting great responsibility to us, we can't ignore the fact that Scripture says that not all of the servants had equal responsibility. He gave one five talents. He gave another two. He gave another one. Why did he do that? Well, he gave it because he knew their abilities. He knew them well enough. He knew their weaknesses. He knew what they could manage well. And I think it's important here for us to realize that God makes us managers according to what he thinks we can handle. And I mean managers of our spiritual gifts, managers of our abilities, managers of everything we have to use in ministry and in missions and for him. Now, the master in the parable, he's not only wealthy, this teaches us that he's also very wise. He knew that his servants did not have equal ability. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. Now, many of us don't want to make the most of what we got. We say we do, but we're not willing to put forth the effort. And we know that God has entrusted us with some kind of important responsibility for his kingdom, but We just haven't connected yet. We haven't hit our stride. We're like, I just don't know my purpose. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know my calling. And the story continues. In the story, the master left, and after a time, he came back expecting that what he had left them with would have been used and multiplied. He didn't want them just to keep it to themselves. He wanted them to use it and multiply it. And so he came and he settled up with the first two servants, and he was very pleased. It's in this passage where Jesus used the words that I think we all long to hear someday. He looks at them and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." But with the third servant, he found exactly what he'd left. One talent. See, this guy, he had taken it and he had hidden it in the ground. Now, at first reading, you might say, well, that's good. It's not like he spent it. It's not like he wasted it. It's not like he had nothing. He returned exactly what he had been given. Isn't that a good thing? But you see, his master had told him to look after it, not to hoard it, not to bury it. And in those days, it was common to hide your money in the ground. So that way, if you were invaded and the banking system fell apart, you would know where your cash, where your money, where your gold, your silver was. So that wasn't an odd thing to do, except that was not what the master told him to do. And so this third servant, maybe he said to himself, you know, I'm going to keep this money safe. I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to bury it. And, you know, it might get a little muddy, but at least it won't be stolen. We don't know what he was thinking, but we just know that he didn't follow the instructions of the master. And what did the master think of this servant's logic when he returned? He's not impressed at all. We're told at the end of the parable that not only was this guy fired from his job, but the master ordered that he be thrown into the outer darkness. That doesn't sound good. And it said it's a place where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's scary to admit this. Those are harsh words, but those are Jesus's words. How many of us are just like that poor one talent servant? Many of us don't make the most of what we've been given, and then we wonder why we're not entrusted with more. And we can talk all day long about how if I had more money, I could do this. If I had more time, I could do this. If I had more, more, more. And yet we're not taking care of what God has already given us. Why would he bless us with more? Why? And it was to this servant that the master said, take away what I gave him and cast him into the outer darkness, for he is a worthless servant. You read it, and it's really hard to reconcile that with the Jesus that we know. And it's because we're looking at the story, that part of the story, through modern eyes. Because if we look at it the way it would have been heard at that time, it starts to make more sense. What the Jewish people would have caught immediately in hearing this parable is the connection to measurement and the word talent. A talent was weighty. We already talked about that. A talent was, 5 talents would have been massively heavy. You wouldn't have been able to carry it. It would have been so much. And the Hebrew word kabod meant heaviness. Now, that Hebrew word kabod, when it talked about heaviness, it referred to the most weighty, the heaviest thing of all, the grace of God. And so instantly, if they heard a story at that time period, and it was talking about weight and heaviness and measurement, they would have thought, oh, the heaviest thing in the world is the abundance of God's glory. And they would have said, I know what that story is about. Because you see, a parable could be told, and if someone was just casually listening, they would think, well, the story's about money. He wanted him to be venture capitalist. He wanted him to invest. If someone was listening a little more closely, they might say, oh, it's about gifts. It's about talents in terms of abilities, and he wants them to use what they have. But someone who was truly seeking God at that time would have said, I know what this story is about. heaviness, kabod, measurement. That means the grace of God. And it has been given in abundance. It is heavy. It is beyond measure. It was weighty. It was infinite. It was abundant. And so what was he saying? What did the master actually leave the servants with? He left him with his grace. And he said, here, don't hoard this. Don't keep it to yourself. You go and multiply it. Because the grace of God is not meant to be held as a possession. It's meant to be gifted and re-gifted again and again and again. And that's why the master's words seem harsh. Because we're thinking, well, he's upset that he didn't make any money. This isn't about money. The scripture should not be read as a punishment for not making money on an investment. It's an expression that grace is meant to be shared. And you will only grow in grace in so much as you give it to others. And so to look at the story in a fresh way, the master is Christ. The servants are us. The things that are being left with us in the parable are the grace and the love of God. Now, did you notice in the story how the first two servants are praised? I thought this was really interesting. The master praises them for being faithful. He says, you have been faithful. He doesn't say, wow, you've made a lot on this return. He doesn't say, you know, you've been shrewd or effective. He said, you have been faithful. The praise is for their faith, not for their results. Another thing I notice in the parable is the lack of competitiveness. There's no competition going on. The servants aren't competing with each other for their master's favor. The first two servants both contribute something of value to their master's estate. They were given different things, but they both had something to contribute. They're working for the increase of their master, and they share in the increase of his kingdom. You know, the scripture, it basically says, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. I know that's been true in my life. In sixth grade, I started playing trumpet. A year later, I started playing French horn in addition to trumpet. I played all through high school, marching band, concert band. I played trumpet and French horn. I haven't picked up either of those since I was 18 years old. If you handed it to me today, I would be embarrassed at what it sounded like. I can't even remember a single scale. And you know, in your life, there's things just like that. If you don't use it, you lose it. Have any of you ever known a language? You learned a different language. And then if you're not putting it into practice, you don't know the words anymore. I lived abroad about 10 years ago. I lived in the West Indies. And I was working there and teaching there. And it was an African dialect called Patois. I lived with a family. That's all they spoke was Patois. And during my time there, I learned to speak. I could communicate. I could tell people who I was and where I was going and what I wanted. I don't remember a single word because I haven't used it in 10 years. What's the story trying to tell us about these gifts that we've been given by God? If we don't use them, we lose them. Not because he takes them away, but because we don't practice them. If you keep reading in the story, I think it's clear that we're just called to show grace to others. And the spiritual gifts are the tools that we've been given to show that grace. You think about, how would you feel if you gave a gift to a friend and you spent a lot of time picking that thing out? You're like, they're going to love it. They're going to love it. They're going to use it. I just know it. And a month later you go and that gift, you see it still sitting in the box. It's not been touched. Now, you'd want to be gracious, but there'd be a part of you who would say, well, they're thankless, and I'm just not going to put that much time into picking them out a gift again. I wonder if God sometimes feels that way about us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us resources to use for his kingdom. And some of us have buried those gifts in the ground. I know it's there. I can name it, but I'm going to just keep it safe. Maybe we're fearful. Maybe we're lazy. Maybe we just don't know what to do, so we don't do anything. But why should God ever give us more gifts and more responsibility if we aren't faithful to what he's already given us. And so today, I want us to think about the parable of the talents. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts and we named them. Many of you in this room now can say, I have this gift. But the next step is not to bury it in the ground, to deploy it. Because what are we called to do as ministers of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors, as the servants that he left to do his work until he returns? We've been given grace and we are to gift it and re-gift it again and again. And if we do that, when one day we stand before him to give an account and to settle up, and we're able to say, I showed grace and I showed love here and here and here and here, and it poured out of me because you had poured it into me. That is when God will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. This week, we're going to do something a little unorthodox. I have some helpers who I've asked to help me during this last part. They have baskets. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to go to your position. We have envelopes in these baskets. Each envelope either has $1, $2, or $5. Every single person here today is going to leave with an envelope. Doesn't matter if you're a child, you're a visitor, doesn't matter who you are. If you want an envelope, you take it. There's no stipulation other than you get one. And this week, you're to use whatever is in your envelope to show God's grace to someone else. How do you do that? Well, we were talking earlier, and people were having some great ideas. You're not tied to these things, but someone said, you know what? I'm going to put money in a vending machine so the next person who comes gets whatever they're getting for free. Someone else said, I'm going to go to the laundromat, and I'm going to just load up that machine so someone gets free laundry. Someone said, I'm going to go through the drive-thru. I'm not just going to use my dollar. I'm going to add to it. I'm going to pay for the car behind me. You can do those things, but I want you to come up with things on your own to do. Because this week, I am entrusting you with these talents. I'm entrusting you with these resources because we are not meant to be the church in these walls only. We are meant to go out and to show God's grace. And so what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? You know, some people say, well, it's not a lot, it's a dollar. You've been entrusted with it. You've got to use it before you're entrusted with more. And so over the course of this next week, I'd love to hear from you. We've set up an email address. It's talents@fumcclinton.org. Write it down so you have it. Put it on your phone. And we want stories, pictures. That email is going to come right to me and Tom. And we want to know what you're doing with this that you've been given. I know this is a little outside the box. It's a little different. But I want you to connect. This isn't just a story in the Bible. This is something that we are to put into practice. We are to show God's grace. And you've been entrusted this week with a resource to do it. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the grace that you've shown us. We thank you for the kabod, the heaviness of your glory, of your mercy, the weight of your faithfulness, Lord. And we're just thank you for the words of Jesus. We're thank you for this parable that means so much more than it first appears. We're thankful that we are your servants and that you are a good and kind master. And God, as we go into this week ahead, we ask you to help us be faithful with the resources you've given us. And help us not just to hold on to your grace and your love and bury it in the ground, but to gift it and re-gift it, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you go out this week, I want you to give all. I want you to give grace. Give love. I want you to use the resources you've been entrusted with today and do something that right now we just can't even imagine. Use your creativity. Pool your resources together. Invest it. Whatever you do, do it in the spirit of the parable of the talents. God has given to me. And now I'm going to go give to others. The email address is talents, talents@fumcclinton.org. Let us hear from you this week. We are so blessed. Go out this week and bless others. Have a great week.